You're listening to Opulent Network Radio on WOPN 1011, Atlanta, Georgia. Each one, teach one, love one. Helping others help themselves.
Hello, 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 everybody. It is your girl, Naomi Love, here on Motivational Monday. I'm excited to be talking with you tonight. So I hope you guys are clicking on your links. I hope that you are dialing on your phones. I hope that you are checking in with me. Guys, I'm excited about tonight's topic. You know, it's so funny. I always say that I am excited every single week. I'm excited, but I am, because I truly, truly, and genuinely love having these conversations with you all every week. So tonight's topic is going to be a good one, and you already know. I said, look, darlings, we are doing this show 9 o'clock to 9:45, right? Look, I'm sticking to it, okay? The only way that we're going over is if we are having an in-depth conversation. But look, 9:45 it is for me. So before we get started, I just want to read you off a few announcements. We're going to start directly. I'm maybe going to start at 9:05 with the topic, but before we get there, we're going to go ahead and give you a few special announcements. So the year is 2018, of course. In October, we will have our Team Progress Picnic the way that we had it last year. But also coming up, we will have a Women's Empowerment seminar. So make sure that you're on the lookout for that. If you cannot attend physically, you can always attend online via, I'm sure that we will, what is the word that I'm trying to use? I'm sure that we will broadcast it via Periscope, Facebook Live, those kinds of things. We're going to have some great, I hope I can be there. I will be there. My good friend, Samaria, will be there. Miss Lane will, of course, she produces it. But she has so many great speakers and phenomenal, not just artists, but speakers, business women, you know, there's something for the local girl getting her groove on and setting the record straight in her sales and trying to produce, be a producer. So that is that. We haven't been doing color check-in this year so far, so you know what, maybe we will do that tonight, just depending on the callers that we get calling in. So maybe we'll do caller check-in tonight. Just depends on the volume of the call tonight. And look, guys, if you're on, I want you to tell your friends. If your friends are calling in, I just want you to remind them, hey, look, Naomi is getting off the line at 9:45, honey. So if you want to catch this cold conversation, then I suggest that you tell them to call ahead and call in at 9 o'clock so we can, you know, have this great conversation and then get in the bed so we can get up bright and early and have a terrific Tuesday, right? The next announcement that I have for you is we have, of course, the show rundown. Okay, so you are calling here with me, Naomi Love, on Motivational Monday at 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock to 9:45 is like I say. And then on Wednesday, you have Wednesday's Wisdom with Miss Lane. And Miss Lane always has a terrific show. She always has great callers calling in on the show, and they always have great topics. So make sure that you call on Wednesday for Wednesday's Wisdom. And then on Thursday, you have Thought for Thursday with Reverend Dry Ace, and sometimes he has different guests, and he also has great, phenomenal people on his show calling as well. Last Thursday, I called in, and we had a great, 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 great discussion. It was actually like the topic of the week amongst me and my peers. It was just about the state of our community and what is it that we can do to help our communities be better. And that was pretty much what we talked about on his show last week. So you guys, make sure that you catch the conversations. Make sure that you share the word of mouth, and we will get better with our marketing, but make sure that you share the word and get more people having these conversations, because it's not just for us, right? And then, of course, on Sunday, you have Love to the Line with Dr. Navigator. Very smooth, very cool dude. And his show used to be at 5 o'clock. It is now at 8 o'clock. So it's Love to the Line with Dr. Navigator at 8 o'clock. PM here on Uplit Network. The number is 347-327-9515. You know who you are. And, of course, you're here with me on Motivational Monday. It is your girl, Naomi Love, and I'm just so excited to have you all here tonight. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much for calling. So tonight's topic is self-preservation, right? Self-preservation. And so I'll just go ahead and give you a quick rundown about how the speaking goes here on Motivational Monday. I will open the lines for you so that if you would like to speak, you can go ahead and speak. Sometimes I call out numbers just because some people press one. So that's another way that you can get on the line. If you want to speak, you can just press one and we can click you in. But other than that, I will try to make sure that the lines are open for you. But if you don't want to speak, if you don't want to speak, don't worry about it. And if you are, if your line is open, just make sure that you mute on your phone so that we cannot hear the background noise, okay? But other than that, self-preservation is the topic, and I'm really excited, guys. I'm really excited. So, again, if you want to speak, press 1. If not, then the line will be open. Just listen for it. It will say unmute it in your ear. Okay, so self-preservation. I know I keep saying this, and you're like, okay, girl, get to what it means. What is self-preservation? What is it? If you can follow me for just a little bit, I want to give you the best example that I know about self-preservation, and AKA it is the oxygen mask analogy. I'm wondering if anybody's laughing to themselves right now. So here it is, another person's mask on while they choke. A selfish person puts their mask on and leaves everyone else to choke. But a person practicing self-preservation puts their mask on first and then helps those around them. So that comes from if you're on an airplane, right, and they say, look, if we have some depressurization, make sure that you put your mask on first, right? And if you have someone who is next to you who is struggling with their mask, then you put their mask. That's a great example of self-preservation. Worry about you first, and then make sure that you're good, and then turn around and help someone else, right? That's like the most like preservation example that I can think of. And if you have a comment about that, before I open the line, make sure that you press 1 so that you can give your comment. But, yes, okay, so that's the basic, that's the most basic analogy that I can think of as it comes to self-preservation. The dictionary definition of self-preservation is not bringing harm to yourself, doing whatever you can in your own power to make sure that you survive as a human being. Protecting yourself from harm, protecting yourself from death. It's in a way, it's regarded as like the basic animal instinct of survival. And that's the self-preservation as far as the dictionary definition is concerned. So when we sit back and we're thinking, okay, self-preservation, what is it that you do or what is it that you can do to help preserve yourself? And I'm asking that because it's just funny because I had to actually give myself that self-preservation kick today, just a few minutes ago. So I know that for my life, and I kind of think that this is the general thing, but it's always a little bit better for you to take care of yourself so that you can be good to other people, right? It hurts and it always feels bad for you when you are doing for others, taking care of other people, doing this, doing that, which are, those are good things, don't get me wrong, those are great things. But when you don't take the time to comb your hair or take a shower or read a book or take just some minutes to pray or meditate or do any of the self-care things that we talk about here on Motivational Monday, if you don't take the time to do those things for yourself, even if it's study a little bit longer or go out for that job or go in the direction that you're being called, if you're not doing those things on a daily basis, what's the more example? Getting up early, eating breakfast in the morning. If you're always running late, that's me. That's a big one for me. If you're always running late, if you're always running behind, if you're always running yourself ragged, those kinds of things, that's what I mean. Those things, then you're not practicing self-preservation. You're doing for others. At this point, you're being selfless. And in some cases, you do need to be selfless. But I think life is about balance. And I hope that we can all agree on that. Life is about balance. It's about balancing the positive with the negative. I know a lot of us, we get caught up with the positive. We're like, oh, I only want positive things, right? But we don't realize that the negative things in life are there. Negativity exists in order to help balance out the positive. And I know that kind of like breaks up our fantastical kind of thinking in a way. But, you know, those things are supposed to coexist. Birth and death. Birth and death are the harmonious. That's the harmonious balance of life. I know a lot of people think that life is the opposite of death, but it's not. Life is the umbrella, and one side of the umbrella is birth, and one side of the umbrella is death, and those two things coexist harmoniously, right? That's just a little tidbit off the side. But the key in between birth and death, the key to living a full life is self-preservation. Self-preservation is that middle ground, right? It's that middle ground between being selfless and being selfish. Being selfless, helping others, stepping out of your comfort zone to do something for someone else, maybe being inconvenienced here and there, you know, doing things with others in mind first, right? Those things are selfless and those things are wonderful. And then you have the selfish where it's, look, today is the day for me. Today I'm thinking of myself first. Today is the day that, or this is the week or this is the month where I can't give you money, I can't pay for this, or you are putting your needs first. You are thinking of what Naomi needs first, right? What does Naomi need? Naomi needs to eat, okay? So I can't give you money, Mr. Homeless Man. You know what I'm saying? Those kinds of things. But then self-preservation is in the middle, okay? You know what? I know that just for the homeless man example, I know that I may like to... I know I might like to give a certain homeless man a dollar here or there, but so what I'm doing is I'm making sure that I put money away for myself. I have money in my savings account. I have money in my checking account. I am okay. So it is okay for me to be selfless in this way. You know what I'm saying? It is okay for me to give to others, because I'm taken care of on my end. And then that way it doesn't feel bad, okay? Here's another example, and this actually just happened. in order for me to get on this show and have a good conversation with you all tonight, I have to make sure that, you know, I take care of my baby first. He needs to be bathed, he needs to be fed, he needs to be put in the bed, right? And then it'll and so that way I'm not run ragged by the time it's time for me to get on here. I need to do that early. So I start with him at around 6 o'clock, right? I start with him around 6, 7 o'clock before it's time to get on the show at 9 o'clock. To start early, I start early because that's what I know that I have to do so that I can get on the show and I can be a better person for you guys. Okay, so I get him out. I get him fed. I get him bathed. I get him played with. I get him everything that he needs. And then there's time for me to take care of myself. I get a shower, I brush my teeth, I get my pajamas, you know what I'm saying? Get the things that I need, and then I can get on the show, and then I can have a great conversation. I can be open. I can be focused on you guys. I don't have to worry about, oh, what needs to be done? All the food is done. All the clothes are done. Everything is done, you know? So to me, that was a good example for me tonight for self-preservation. So I just want to put this out there. I just want to ask you guys, I think I asked this a little bit earlier, but what are some things that you can do to practice a little bit more self-preservation? Or are you being selfless? Are you being too selfless? Are you being too selfish? Because remember we said selfless and selfishness. We need the two. We need the positive and the negative. We need the yin and the yang. We need birth. We need death. Those things are supposed to coexist harmoniously, right? Is there anywhere in your life where you're not, where you're either being too selfless, too selfish, or where you can find yourself to meet just right there in the middle, right there in the middle? You don't have to be too selfish. You don't have to be too selfish. Something that you can do. Are there areas in your life where you find yourself being too selfless or too selfish? Too much or not enough? Too much or not enough? Anybody? The lines are open. If anyone would like to speak, the lines are open, and I would love to hear what you have to say.
Well, hello, hello, hello.
Hey.
How's everyone? Welcome to the line. Welcome to Opulent Networks Motivational Monday. This is Miss Lane from Wisdom Wednesday. And I just want to say a little bit on self-preservation. That's my favorite topic. Having self-preservation for yourself is very important. I always tell self-preservation comes God first, zero, no higher, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's how the scenario goes. And it's with anything that we do, with the way we carry ourselves, the way we talk to people, the way we handle our children, the way we do our everyday livelihood as far as getting up in the morning, brushing your teeth, combing your hair, preparing yourself for the adequateness to meet the world. Self-preservation is number one. Anything else is number two besides God. And, you know, you have to really embed yourself and then dedicate yourself and be, is diligently perform these self-preservation, because it's about self, but it's not saying that you're selfish, because there's two different things. Being selfish is,
right.
It's just two different things. People have to understand. I think a lot of people cross that with one another, and I just don't think it's fair. And I want to just read a little thing from this book, and it's real crazy in the deep. And I'm just going to read this. It says, do you have the willingness to give your life for your country? Are you willing to die for your country? Well, it can be an uneasy answer to that question for some people. Of course, everyone is entitled to his or her opinion on warfare. Though there are no facts, no rights, or no wrong. So let's take it nice and slow. We're at war. But why are we at war? And we're only American citizens. There are many people who are not a part of the government, the military forces, the police, and the sheriff's department. There are regular humans who work from 9 to 5 every day to provide for their families. And now their lives are in danger every day. So is that self-preservation or is that selfishness? You don't know. You have to figure things out by determining the united we stand or divided we fall. It's a great final decision. It's a challenge in one's life to do something positive and have a concrete feeling for life about it. So we hesitate to say, is the grass greener on the other side? Or is the grass thicker on homeland than it is in the battlefield? Self-preservation can go either way, but we have to make sure that we're not using it in a selfish way.
Right.
You got me?
I'm trying to follow you. I think that with self-preservation, that's what I was saying, it's kind of self-preservation is more of in the middle. It's you are being selfless. Well, no. Let me erase that. Self-preservation, to me, is the result of you taking care of yourself in a way that is good for now and for later. If I wasn't clear on that before, that's what it is to me. Taking care of yourself in a way that is good for now and for later, so that you can be selfless, and that you can be selfish. It's a good balance. Self-preservation is what allows you to be selfless. Self-preservation is the selfishness, being selfish enough to then allow you to be selfless. You know what I'm saying? It's a good balance between
Both. I feel you. And I wish a lot of other speakers will speak on it, self-preservation, because, you know, we have a lot of people that I know, they're misconstruing the self-preservation with self-preservance or selfishness. You know, all those self does not mean just self. You know, when you have self-preservation, you have a preservation of your soul, of your body. Guess what? Everybody, and if you don't know, you came in this world by yourself and you're going to die by yourself. So therefore, you have to do for yourself, regardless if you have a mate, regardless if you have a husband, regardless if you have a mother and father, you're responsible for your being. You're responsible for your life. No one else is responsible for your life but you. So your self-preservation needs to be high up, not shooing nobody down, not knocking the smaller person, if there is a smaller person, none of that. That's becoming being selfish. And when you have all these different attitudes and boastfulness, and that does not make your self-preservation A1. That makes it lower. Because you have lowered your standards to become beneath someone by belittling someone. And I ain't going to go no deeper because, I can go deep on this because this is my topic. And I'm hoarse and I'm, you know, trying to recuperate. But, yes, self-preservation, you have to know. And if you don't understand self-preservation, go research it. This is the best thing I tell you. And then if you don't think that your research is good, go to the Bible. Because that's your main.
Right.
That's your blueprint for life. Go to your Bible because it'll tell you about that. And I see we have a lot of callers online. I want you guys to open up and let your voices ring. This is the time. You know, we're shying away and we're not saying much But let the freedom, let your voices shout out, let the freedom ring. You know, there's too much business. You know, we got people shutting down the Congress for something else. It's just, you know, too much. But anyway, I love all of you, and thanks for everyone for calling in. Thank you, Ms. Naomi, for having me again. And I will see you guys on Wednesday with Wisdom Wednesday, same time, 9 o'clock, same number, 347-327-9515. Loving you guys. Back to the line.
Well, thank you, Ms. Elaine. Everybody, that was Ms. Elaine. She is our producer as well as runs the show on Wednesday's Wisdom. So I like how she, of course, ended with, if you have questions or you're looking more into, or, you know, just questions about anything, you always turn to your source. And her source is the Bible. Her source is God. And I just love that, you know, we can always put that out there that, you know, if you have questions or if you're looking for direction or anything, always turn to your source who lives within you. And you know where, you know where to find that source. So I always appreciate when you put that in there. But yeah, so back to self-preservation. The question that I asked was, is there something that you can do to help preserve yourself? Is there something that you can do to be a little bit more selfless? Is there something that you can do to be a little bit more selfish? The lines are open. If you want to speak on it, go ahead and speak on it. If you want to know, if you want to ask a question, like, what are you talking about, Naomi? I don't understand what this conversation is about. Then ask me that question. Let's talk about it. It's a conversation, not a lecture. Let's talk about it.
Good evening. Oh. How's everybody?
Hey, good.
So I would say, that's great. I would say that self-preservation has, from what the lady spoke on earlier with this being a war, I think of Ephesians with the armor that you put on, the armor of God, because you have to protect yourself and understand that you have to have that faith and go into what you need to and make sure that you are okay to be able to endure the battle. And the battle of every day, like you said, we have to be able to coincide with the negative, and sometimes that can be the battle. But we have to understand how to preserve the inside of us and who we are, and that's putting on that armor and knowing that you notice that in the armor of God, there's nothing for your back because you're constantly supposed to be going forth with whatever you take on. So that's kind of what I think of with self-preservation, because you have to, like you said, take that time to read that book, to get yourself organized, because you can't give something to someone if you don't have it. And in order to have it, you have to work on it and manifest it. And, you know, when it's, and also another lesson that I learned was ask, seek, and knock. When you ask for someone to come, you have to be prepared to what you bring into that home. So you can't be asking for things and once it arrives, you're not ready for it. You don't have your house in order. And so that becomes self-preservation, to making sure that your temple, which is your body, which is you, is taken care of at all times.
Right. I love that you said that. And guys, I always love when you comment, because it just, it makes the topic. You know, I can throw something out there and you guys always take it there. And that is my really good friend. Her name is Star. And I love, thank you so much for always supporting the show, Star. But the armor, protecting yourself, and how that self-protection enables you. That protection of self enables you to go forth in what you were called to do in your life. When she said that, that made me think of God guarding your heart and watching the company that you keep. And like she said, getting your house in order and being able, so that you are able to receive and do the work that you were called to do. You are able to receive and work, you know. So when God blesses you, you can't keep saying, God, I need you, I need this, I need that, I need this, I need that. But then when God blesses you, you're unable to receive, you're unable to work.
you're unable to, you know, go forth and do what you're supposed to do with what God is blessing you with, you know. So find that, right. So I really appreciate that, because that's kind of, you know, you're taking it further. And that's what we have to do. It's so funny because we constantly pray for things. That reminded me of something that I was doing the other day. I was praying for something, and I prayed for something like Monday night. And then Tuesday I had a conversation about basically what I was praying for, and I said, you know what, look, I'm just going to take this as it is. And we have a wonderful woman who calls on our show plenty of times. Her name is Sister Divine. And she usually, hold on, sorry, getting some feedback. Okay. But Sister Divine tells us a lot of things that she hears from God. And one thing that I've heard her say is that if you're not a person who hears from God, you know, then maybe he's putting people in your life, or maybe he is, showing you things, that maybe he's putting things in your life, in your way. Maybe something is happening to you, or maybe something is being said to you through another person, you know, because God shows up around us in many different ways. We just have to open our eyes. We just have to look for it. We just have to see it. We had a wonderful caller on the show one time who told us about, I'm hearing a little bit of feedback, so if you can mute your phone if you have something going on in your background. But we had a wonderful caller on the show who told us, I think she called us, and then she said that the conversation had reminded her that she had a neighbor, an elderly neighbor, I believe, and it was on her heart God had placed it on her heart to go and be of service to this neighbor. And she came on the line with us on Motivational Monday one night, and we were all having this conversation about, you know, just stepping out on faith and doing what you know that you were supposed to do. And she went to her head. She said, you know what, this has been placed on my heart, and God has been telling me to do this for a minute, and, you know, I think I'm going to do it. And then I believe, like, after we talked to her maybe a week or two later, that she had, of course, stepped out and gone and been of service to her neighbor. So, you know, but because she had been spending that time with God, because she had been, you know, just praying or doing whatever, and then she came onto the show and we're having this conversation, you know, it was kind of like another sign from God, like, hey, you know, this is what you need to be doing, you know. And in that way, that selflessness that she acted on, you know, that is what helped me probably balance out the self-preservation. Because doing things for others, and I really don't want it to seem like I'm saying self-preservation is take care of yourself and do for you and just do that. Self-preservation is doing for yourself, but it's doing for yourself in a way that you can be of good service to other people, you know. So God calls us to do things, like tells us to do things all the time. But from all the stories that I've heard of God telling people to do things, it's always so that they can be of service or they can bring good to the lives of others. Anything that's on your heart that God is calling you to do, whether it is to be a therapist or a psychologist, whether it's to be a social worker, whether it is to be a event planner, whether it is to be whether it is to be an author, whether it is to be a scientist or researcher or anything, I'm sure that whatever God has placed on your heart to pursue in life, it is for you to bring good tidings unto other people. If it is to be a mentor to young men or to young women, those things you have to, in order, I know that you cannot go, you can't go to your job, cannot go to your workplace tired and ragged and, you know, doing all these things. You can't be doing things of service to other people and you have not taken care of yourself. You have not placed yourself in a surrounding of good people, people who encourage you. You can't be out there doing good service to the world if you are not around people who encourage you, not around people who, you know, who love you, if you are not taking good care of yourself. You know what I'm saying? If you're not sitting down to pray and to meditate. That is what we talk about here in Motivation Monday. We talk a lot about self-care. We talk a lot about stepping out of your comfort zone. You know, we talk a lot about those things because those things are important in order for us to move on and, like Star said, be of good service to the world that we impact. We talk a lot about, guys, if you have anything to say, please interrupt me because I will talk forever. So if you have anything to say, please go ahead and speak. I'll make sure that all the lines are open at this time. If you have anything to say, I'll just stop talking for a minute so you can speak. Okay. What was I going to say? Oh, man, I forgot what I was going to say. Okay, well, anyway, the basics of it is just, you know, make sure that you are doing what you can to be the best person that you can be so that you can be of good courage and you can be of good faith and so you can be a good example to the people who are out here, who are looking up to you, who are your clients, who are your peers, who are, you know, who are your siblings or your nieces and nephews, you know, people who look up to you, you know, because we are all great people out here and there's always someone who is watching you. There's always someone who is looking up to you. There's always a life that you are impacting. And I hope that you know that you are wonderful and that you are great and that you are superbly made, you know, and living in that and walking in that. You know, that is what self-preservation is. It's looking at yourself and saying, you know what, it's looking at yourself and saying, okay, I know that maybe I want to lose weight, okay? Self-preservation is making a decision today and knowing that that decision is good for now and for later. Okay, so, okay, do you want to have this donut? Okay, do you know that you want to lose weight? Should I have this donut today and for later? You know, is this good? It might be really good right now, but I know that it's going to make me feel bad later. Or saving money. You know, I know that I don't need to be spending all this kind of money. Like, we have all these kinds of resolutions that we enter into the new year with. But a lot of times, sometimes you have those type A people where they run themselves ragged and they say, look, I'm just going to cut everything cold turkey, right? And then you have those people who say, okay, one day at a time, and then they never get to it. But you have to have a good balance. We want to work on having good balance, doing things that are good for now and for later. You might not want to cut everything off cold turkey, but you also don't want to do it so small that you never get to it. You know, you don't want to shock yourself, but you also don't want to pacify yourself. So you have to just find the balance. What works for you is what works for you, and what works for somebody else might not work for, you know, might not work for you. So, you know, but you just have to want to, I just want to encourage you to get to know yourself and live in that. And let me just stop that there. And the last point that I just wanted to bring up before we close out the show, because it's 9:40, and, you know, guys, I said, look, y'all, we're doing 9 to 9:45 because we got to get in the bed. We got to get up early in the morning, go have terrific Tuesdays. But the last thing that I just wanted to say, I have had conversations with friends for the past week or so about people, about our communities, right? About what is it? What's wrong with our community? Is it the education system? Is it rap music? Is it what is it? I've had a lot of conversations about that. And like I said, we had that conversation on Reverend Jai Ace's show, Thoughtful Thursday, last week. It was, you know, kind of like, you know, what is it that we can do to help our community? And yeah, I want to pose that question to you guys before I say anything else about that. What is it? What is something that you have noticed is wrong in our community, and what is something that you think we can do to improve it? Lines are open. Anybody? Don't be scared.
I'm not. Hello.
Hi. I'm listening.
Hello. Hey, everyone. My name is Kimberly, and I'm a social work major. So just speaking on the community as a whole and just talking about minorities as a whole together, I think if we were to self-motivate each other and ourselves, that we could do better, because we're the only people to me who downgrade each other badly, and we're willing to help others, but we don't help each other as a whole or even help ourselves. And I feel as though if we do that, we could be better than what we are and what people make us out to be.
I love that. To piggyback off of that, I want to add, you said we need to help out each other. Okay, so when I heard that, I thought of businesses. A lot of what I've been, so this kind of stems from that whole H&M thing, the whole H&M, the little boy with the monkey sweatshirt on, right, and the whole controversy about behind it. And so we had someone, I had a friend who asked me, they were like, okay, would you be upset, like, if the producer of the photo shoot asked your son to be in this, and what do you think of H&M and all this? Long story short, I think, just how Kimberly said, if we walked each other's clothing line, if we did more for each other, if we did more for our own community, then I don't think that we would really have to worry about, oh, this person has one of our black children in a monkey sweatshirt, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, and that's just my personal opinion. Doing more for each other, supporting black-owned businesses. And I know that, like, what was it? It's like 2 or 3 years ago now that we were doing this. We were doing this whole boycott thing, boycott, black dollars are so important, blah, blah, blah. We know that. But unfortunately, I haven't seen, I don't think that we are doing that. You know, a lot of people, it was, and that's the self-preservation. That's the preservation of the black community, right? Yes, thank you for your comment, Kimberly. Yeah, guys. Well, what are you thinking about that? I want to hear some more. What are you thinking about that? Kimberly brought up a great point, especially self-preservation of the black community. That's what the topic is for the rest of the night. Self-preservation of the black community. What is it that we can do? What is something that's wrong, and what is something that we can do to make it better? If you want to speak, go ahead and speak.
Good evening again. I'm sorry, was somebody else about to talk?
No, go ahead, it's you.
No? Oh, okay. Well, I would say that kind of, I think I spoke on this before when I said that we have to, history repeats itself, so we have to kind of look back and evaluate what worked and what didn't work. And any time in history, I would say that blacks were on the rise, where you have times like Black Wall Street or Harlem when it was doing really well as the revamp of Harlem, bringing back that. I think it was all a lot of times, or even with the Black Panther, these things show us when we come together, as it's so cliche, but, you know, we're bad as a force, or I can't remember how it goes. But, you know, individually, you're one person and stand up speaking, but together with many people, what can you accomplish? And I think any time in history where we have seen, you know, the culture thrive, is because the culture came together. They got a plan together, they worked with it, and they utilized everyone. The Black Panthers were successful with bringing advocates together, with bringing people on the streets and giving everyone a job, creating a system that worked for everyone and took care of families. And it was like, okay, well, we need moms on the phones. Well, moms need care for kids, and moms need, you know, different things because they're single mothers. So what did they do? They created WIC. It's like problem solution. Instead of, as Kimberly said, bringing someone down, you need to find a way to bring them up where they're weak, because where your neighbor is weak is where you should be strong. You find out your weaknesses within each other, and then you build from mm-hmm. there. And we don't do that as a culture individually, because you can even just look around your community. When you see other nationalities in your area, me living in a different city, it's a lot of Middle Easterns here. So you see Kurdish people here. You see a lot of – and what they do is, we see this all the time. They buy a house. They bring family over. They get those people doing well. They save up to bring someone else over. And then they live – when they buy big homes, they bring more family around. And then you start to see that, oh, they went from, like, a Honda to an Audi, and now every family member is in that sense. And so what happens is everyone – there, and I, you know, they, everyone has to win. Everybody eats. Everybody has a chance to prosper, and that's what they pride themselves on. They don't find themselves successful until their family members, until their neighbors are successful.
Mhm. Right. Yeah, and it's funny because I was actually having a conversation with a friend. We were talking about doing it for the hood, basically. And they were saying, like, oh, I want to go back and I want to, you know, bring money into the hood and all this. But it got into a really heated discussion because it was like, everybody was like, well, you know, there's a certain mentality that exists in the hood. There's a certain mentality where people, when you bring things into the hood, people don't want to pay for them. People, when your family member, and I heard this last night at a family dinner, when your family member comes up with a book, your family member just wrote a book and they're trying to sell it, and they tell you, okay, my book is $15. The first thing that somebody said was, what's the family discount?
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you what's not going to work. If we're really going to get somewhere, what's not going to work is a family discount. That's the thing, because the family discount not only extends because, okay, you give that family member that your family discount, and then guess what? They bring their friend in. And then you give them their friend the family discount. And you know what I'm saying? Like, the family discount, you can't do a family discount when your family is the only customer. Like, you just can't.
Mm-hmm.
It just does not work. You know what I'm saying? We don't ask the Chinese people for the family discount. We go and we pay them full price. We don't ask Macy's for a family discount. We don't ask JCPenney. We don't ask Dillard's. We don't ask H&M. We don't ask Vaginade. We don't ask Gucci. We out here, people are out here making songs called Gucci Gang. You know what I'm saying? You're not asking Gucci for the family discount. You're not asking them for the gang discount. Like, what is that?
I think that becomes where the part of being very strategic. I think when things like the Black Panthers, those are very militant people having to learn how to work side by side with very peaceful people. So there's going to be different views. And the great thing about different views is it creates diversity within moving forward, because nothing is consistent in our world but change. So you have to learn how to evolve. They have to learn to evolve, because what we're comfortable, if it's comfortable usually, is not good. So we have to, like, when we have those type of things, we speak to, like, I speak on that often with being a student, and when people say things like that, even as a joke, I always have to sound like the politician, because I'm like, no, it's deeper than that. Like, it's not a joke, because how are we going to win if we're constantly, like you said, trying to get a discount and take down, and you're constantly trying to take from this person when they're trying to build? It's like it's playing, what's the game where it's a bunch of blocks and you're trying to pull from the bottom and hope that the entire stack doesn't fall. Yeah, Jenga. And it's kind of like that when someone's trying to build a business for themselves and you're constantly trying to snatch something from under them, what support are you really?
Right.
And especially if this person expected you to be on a foundation level with them. So you're really crumbling a foundation that they're trying to build. And that's sometimes how you have to remind people, this isn't a game. There's this video out with this little kid, and he's like, do you really, Susie? And I find that so funny, because there's so many times now where I can show people that video in moments where I don't have to say anything rude to them, but it's like, let's be realistic about this. As she spoke earlier, we're in a war. We get government shut down. This happens, that happens. We don't have time to be in a war with each other.
Right.
And sometimes we just have to be real with people and say that and remind them. Like, even as a joke sometimes, we've all been victim to joking about it. And it's comical, but then, you know, when it's time to really be serious, we're not ready to do that.
So, right.
That's my view.
Anybody else? Me and Star, Kimberly, and Ms. May have been running the line. Anybody else? Anybody
love
else?
The line.
Hey, Dr. Navigator, what's up? Tell us about it.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good.
Well, I've been sitting, I've been listening, and I've been thinking, and I, you know, it's something that's been running. At first, I wasn't going to speak, but the lady spoke so fluently about the Black Panther, and it made me think about what the Black Panther was formulated on, which was the 10-point program. And this program was set up for the betterment of the community. So when you think about self-preservation, you think about, you know, doing something today that will make your tomorrow, your future better and happy.
Right.
So, see, when we talk about Opti Network, I'm not just talking about, you know, one show, two shows. I'm talking about everything that, you know, Opti Network stands for. This actually is preserving the mindset, the knowledge, the wisdom, and understanding for a cause, for a reason that's going to make our tomorrow better. And that is with our youth. In order for us to preserve a happier future, we have to establish a foundation with our youth to make that tomorrow, that future, better and happier. Because when we look at our youth, we're looking at future politicians, future, you know, government, future possibility of presidents. You know, the limitation is, you know, is limited with what they can actually be. But what are we doing as a people to preserve that tomorrow? What are we doing as a people other than just, you know, complaining to make our youth have a better tomorrow? Do we actually sit down with our youth and teach them about the different laws, the different things that govern this country, in order for them to be able to have a better tomorrow? Or do we sit back and we continue to complain, or do we continue to put it in the hands of a delegator or a representative or a school teacher or a principal or a officer or someone else in order to make our children enabled to have a better tomorrow? So when we say we don't have self-preservation, if we want to have a better tomorrow, it don't have anything to do with me, you know, doing something to make my tomorrow better if I'm not making everybody around me better. So when we have a self-preservation and we're doing it for the betterment of our, you know, future, our youth, then when we set out and we come up with ways in order to educate them, it has nothing to do with what we can give them other than one thing that you can give someone and keep at the same time, and that's knowledge. If you give away knowledge, it only enhances your ability to express your knowledge, and it's something that you can give away that you can also keep. And that's what I have on the love to the line.
I love it. Thank you, Dr. Navigator. Next person, anybody else? Somebody respond to Dr. Navigator, please. I love these conversations.
I don't think nobody can just go back with that. Blessings. Well, you know, Dr. Navigator comes strong every time, and I've only been listening for a short time, but everything that the lady said before Dr. Navigator, everything that you were saying, Sister Naomi and Dr. Navigator, even to where, you know, the founding of the Black Panther, you know, I wish I could have heard the whole conversation about the Black Panther and the movement of such, but just the founding of it itself, as Dr. Navigator was saying, was simply to protect the neighborhood, you know. And it's the same way with us, you know, being self-person, you know, just want to protect ourselves, our families, our whatever it is that we have as a possession of our own, and definitely our own life, you know. And sometimes we tend to try to teach other people's, not realizing that we can't teach anyone anything unless they are willing to learn. That's first and foremost. So we can talk and we can give them all the knowledge that we have to offer, but it's only going over their head unless they put within herself that I'm going to get this, I'm going to be taught this, I'm going to learn this or whatnot. So if we can put out 110% and they only going to receive 10%, it's because that's what they set out to receive, you know. So, man, but hearing you, and I don't know if it was Sister Star or whoever was before you, and Dr. Navigator, just hearing y'all three, man, you know. And I was like, Dr. Navigator, I wasn't going to say nothing. I was enjoying just hearing y'all. But, man, definitely a beautiful topic. And the words play that's going on back and forth is unique. So definitely thank you. Peace, sis.
Yes. Thank you guys for commenting. You guys actually, all of you, everyone who spoke tonight, thank you so much for speaking, because you truly, truly, truly make the topic. When you guys speak, look, like I said before, I threw a word out there, self-preservation, and it was a little dense until we started talking about the self-preservation of the Black community, because that's really what it is about. And I think that, you know, from a student standpoint, from a learning kind of standpoint, that in my studies of psychology and social work, I've understood that it's really not about you. It's really not about an individual. In a sense, it is. I'm trying to say this without confusing anybody. In a sense, it is about the individual. But in the big scheme of things, it's really not. It's really about how we interact with each other and how we preserve our people. How do we preserve our race? How do we continue life? That's really what self-preservation is about. How can the individual be the best individual it can be in order to bring together new life with another individual, with another best individual, you know, like a survival of the fittest kind of thing. So, yeah, I don't want to go over tonight, but I do want to continue this conversation. So look forward to sometime in February, we're going to bring this back. And it's actually, and in the topic line, you guys will know, because in the topic line, it will say self-preservation of the Black community. That's what it's going to say. And I hope you guys can invite some friends, because we really need to have this conversation and we need to have it loud, right? So, yes, I truly enjoyed this conversation. I'm going to end it here because I don't want to go over. I'm sticking to my time limit. I'm not being late. 2018, we're going to claim it, okay? So it's 9:07. If anybody wants to pray us out, but look for that conversation, okay? When we send out those messages, self-preservation of the Black community, and, you know, invite somebody to come have that conversation with us, and I love you all, okay? So someone please pray us out, and then that's it.
Sure. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we call upon you right now just to thank you for just doing so much in our lives, Lord, Heavenly Father, even to this show right here tonight. Thank you for allowing it, Lord, because nothing is without your willingness for it to happen, Lord. So we thank you. I thank you for each and every tongue that has spoken on this line tonight. I ask that it bear fruit, Lord, Heavenly Father, that it plant seed. I ask that you water every word that has been said and let it grow within the communities, within, you know, the people life that have heard this, the ears that heard this tonight, Lord. Father God, we just thank you, because we're claiming a victory of knowing that we are and can be better people than we were today and yesterday. We thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen to that. Thank you guys so much for calling in tonight on Motivational Monday. And that is our show. I got 30 seconds left on the recording, so we're not late, guys. Okay, great. I'll talk to you guys next Monday. Make sure you call in on Wednesday's Wednesday with Miss Lane, and on Thursday for Reverend Ace, who just prayed us out. It's Thoughtful Thursday, 347-327-9515. You guys have a great, terrific Tuesday. I love you all.
Yeah, good night,
everybody.
Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things and what they used to be, no, no,
oil wasted on the ocean and upon our sea, fish full of mercury. Oh, mercy, mercy, mercy.